the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. This is 30 Laps with Dick. I'm Richard Lyon. Welcome to this week. Well, what about those great British love stories, hey? Henry VIII and... Oh, that was a bad start. How about Horatio Nelson and Emma Hamilton? Burton and Taylor. Dylan and Caitlin Thomas. Virginia Woolf and Vita Sackville-West. Of course, Winston and Clementine. Chopin and Amatine Lucille Aurore Dupin, a.k.a. Jules Sand. Morecambe and Wise. Morecambe and Wise. Oh, enough already. But these were some of the great British love stories. We've got another great British love story for you this week. The great British love story with the Ford Capri. How about that? This week on 30 Laps. And like Phil and Don Everly, we bring you another relationship that went very sour. That one between General Motors and their Holden Special Vehicles dealer group. We'll have a Captain Cook at that as well. All in front of us this week at 30 Laps. So let's get cracking, shall we? And this is from Auto Car Magazine, published on the 25th of August this year, 2020, written by Richard Dredge, Ford Capri, a great British love story. It's more than three decades since the Ford Capri went out of production, but these are some still of the most sought-after classics ever created. Far from being forgotten, today Capri values are soaring, with classic car fans continuing to promise themselves one of these stylish icons. Over 18 years of production, there were three generations of Capri, and almost 2 million were made. Here, we look at how Capri came about, how it was developed and evolved, the legacy that it left behind, and how the UK came to love it, like few other cars. The story started in 1964 with the launch of the Ford Mustang, the fastest-selling car in history. The original pony car, affordable sport coupe. Ford in America reckoned it could sell as many as 100,000 Mustangs in the first year. Within 18 months, more than 1 million had been sold. As the Mustang was being launched, European buyers could already purchase a Capri. It was the Ford Consul Capri, an awkwardly styled two-door coupe that was closely related to the underwhelming Consul Classic. Power came from a 1.5-litre pushrod engine. Ford's German-British divisions were run separately in the 60s, but they both fancied a piece of the Mustang's success. And for the first time ever, they teamed up to create a car for Europe. Both divisions knew that the Mustang was too big, and so were its engines, for European buyers, but a pony car for that side of the pond would hit the spot if done right. Work on Project Colt began in 1965. Gordon McRae worked for Ford in the US and he came up with some initial sketches which were refined by British designer Neil Burtley. Ford progressed with two different designs, both of which shared the same basic characteristics. Long bonnets, sleek coupe profile, and sharply truncated tails. Until 1967, the rear pillar design was quite heavy and would leave the rear seat passengers feeling hemmed in. So the decision was made to glaze this section. It's a styling cue that would stay with Capri for the next 18 years, although the hockey stick swage line could be used only for the Capri Mark I. Whereas the Mustang was based on the relatively mundane Ford Falcon platform, the Capri's floor plan and calibrated suspension were shared with the Mark II Cortina, which also donated its four-cylinder engines, priced at a competitive £890, around £15,000 in today's money, from launch, the Capri had a live axle with leaf springs and drum brakes at the rear, McPherson struts and discs at the front, and a four-speed all-synchro mesh gearbox, although a three-speed automatic was available with the 1.6-litre engine. Production starts in December 1968, ready for the car's unveiling the following year. In the UK, the car was made at Ford's plant at Halewood in Liverpool, now owned by Jaguar Rover, and today home to the Range Rover Evoque and the Land Rover Discovery Sport. But Colt had to be stopped as the Mitsubishi owned the rights to it, resulting in a court action. Ford had to rethink and chose to adopt the Capri moniker that has last been used in 1964. Although there was no official crash testing body back in the 1960s along the lines of Europe's Euro NCAP, Ford still flung its cars into walls to see how they'd perform. The Capri was unveiled at the 69 Brussels Auto Show, and the marketing campaign started almost immediately. The new sporting coupe was promoted as the car you always promised yourself, a motoring strapline that has become one of the most famous in history. When the Mark 1 reached UK showrooms in the spring of 69, it was offered with a wide range of engines, trims and options, all things that had been key to Mustang's success in America. At first, just four cylinders were offered, then 1,300 or 1,600 units in standard or GT trim, latter getting more power, a centre console and extra instruments. GT buyers could also opt for X-Pack, which added auxiliary lights, Ross-style wheels, and most important of all, a matte black bonnet. I remember we went to Cyprus to drive the new Capri, covering 800 miles in four different variants, and we loved them. At the time we said, all in all, these Capris are something entirely new from Ford and are outstanding in many ways, notably their quietness, stability and controllability, and in the precision and lightness of the steering and gear change. There are inevitably one or two criticisms, the lack of legroom in the back being the most significant. Soon after, in the UK, a V4 engine 2000 GT went on sale, with the same equipment and options as the 1600 GT. But it was in September that things really started to get fruity, with the arrival of the 3000 GT. The 2-litre V4 and the 3-litre V6 power plants were both part of Ford's Essex engine family, featuring a 3-litre V6 engine taken from the Ford Zodiac, a bonnet bulge and twin exhausts. This was, for now, the ultimate Capri. You could say the design was changing minute by minute. To encourage families to give Capri a try, Ford played on the car's roomy cabin in its marketing. As well as the car's affordability, Capri may have been stylish and sporting, but you didn't need deep pockets to buy one. Ford had a hit on its hands with Capri, admittedly not on the scale of the Mustang in the United States, but with very little competition, the Capri shared the segment only with the Sunbeam, Alpine and Rapier. And later would come along the Vauxhall Firenza, the Opel Manta, the Toyota Celica, we know in Australia, the Lucia Beta, the Renault 15 and 17, and the Volkswagen Scirocco. Before the Capri, Ford's German and British divisions had really collaborated. Or really, even for that matter. The Capri was built in both England and Germany, and while there was lots of crossover of the various models, German Capri buyers could opt for a 1.7-litre V4, which wasn't offered in the UK. Hence the minute by minute comment. But that's just 30 laps being a bit corny. Anyway, back to the article. With its ideal blend of pace and practicality, the Capri was just the thing for the police. We don't know how many police forces used Capris, but we do know the Greater Manchester Police was among the first with this, with a Mark 1, and it used them right up until the 1980s. Ford Capri goes racing. Ford entered the Capri Mark 1 into the European Touring Car Championship to boost its sporting credentials, which led to the introduction of the Capri RS 2600, a homologation special, and the RS 2600 featured a 2673cc V6 engine with mechanical fuel injection, which put out 148 brake horsepower. Production ran from 1970 to 74, and 3,500 cars were made. Picking up where the RS 2600 left off was Ford's next special, the RS 3100. ETCC, or European Touring Car Championship, rules said that 1,000 road-going RS 3100s had to be built, but fewer than 250 examples were made, thanks to the good old oil crisis of 1973. The car got a 148 brake horsepower 3.1 litre V6 and it gave it 125 mile an hour top speed. Ventilated discs, lowered and stiffened suspension, a sports exhaust and a ducktail spoiler. In the 1960s, Ferguson was developing all sorts of four-wheel drive oddities, including a Triumph Stag, Ford Zodiac, and also our friend the Capri. Production numbers are hazy, but it's reckoned there were 17 built, were the first cars constructed before the Capri was publicly unveiled. Created for entry in rallycross events, each four-wheel drive Capri was powered by a 3-litre V6 to give it 160 to 200 brake horsepower. Of course, the specials weren't just four-wheel drive. Over the years, there would be plenty of limited edition Capris, including the GT4, the Calypso, and the Cabaret. But the first of them all was the special of which 1,200 were built, launched in October 1971, and based on the 2000 GT, the Capri special came with a black vinyl roof, slats over the rear windows, black seat trim, and an optional rear spoiler. Nice. After 1.16 million Mark 1s had been built in just over 5 years, the Capri Mark 2 was launched in 1974. Gone was the boot, replaced by a hatch, and this, matched with the folding rear seats, made Capri more usable than ever. Despite this, the Mark 2 would never be as popular as the Mark 1, and neither would the Mark 3. Indeed, the production numbers of these two iterations combined, despite 12-year production run between them, would be just half of that of the Capri Mark 1. The Mark 2 was more grown up than its predecessor in a bid to make it as usable as possible. The interior was more luxurious and the car was widened by 2 inches to give more cabin and boot space. The 2-litre V4 was replaced by an inline Pinto unit of the same displacement, but a 1.6-litre engine was still available for impetuous buyers, or there was still a 3-litre V6 for those at the other end of the spectrum. Ford watered down the Capri's sporting credentials with the Mark II by softening its suspension, although there was no bigger front disc brakes and power steering for them. Bigger front discs and power steering for the more expensive editions. Years after many of Ford's rivals had switched from dynamos to alternators, the Capri finally got one. Picking up where the Mark 1 left off, buyers could choose from a wide range of engines, including 1.3, 1.6 and 2-litre four-cylinder units. There was also a 3-litre V6, but buyers had been confused by the array of trim packs with the Capri Mark 1, so Ford reduced the personalisation options with the Mark 2, not least of all because the dealers were often as confused as the buyers. Although the Capri was conceived as a pony car for Europe, Ford also enjoyed success in South Africa, Australia and America, where it is sold through Lincoln Mercury dealers. Only the Capri Mark 1 and Mark 2 were offered stateside though, with sales ceasing in 78 when the Capri Mark 3 was launched. When Claudia Jennings was crowned Playmate of the Year in 1970, she was given a Mercury Capri Mark 1, which was parked in front of Hugh Hefner's DC-9 aircraft. We're not sure that the Capri looks too pretty in pink. Some more like it. In 1975, Ford's racing team was sponsored by John Player Special, cigarettes. And to capitalise on this, the Capri JPS went on sale, finished in a corporate black or white with gold colours of the John Player Special. The GPS featured blacked out trim, firmer suspension and standard and gold coach lines for the alloy wheels. Buyers could choose between the 1.6 2-litre or 3-litre V6 engines. Whatever power plant was chosen, its number would feature the letters JP. We reckon the Mark II was an advance over its predecessor. There is no doubt that the Capri II range in general represents a vast improvement on earlier models. Almost entirely, this is attributable to the improved luggage carrying capacity and the larger glass area. Amongst fringe benefits are such things as better sound insulation and cleaner looks. Incidentally, the back again in print reference on the 30th of March 1974 cover has nothing to do with Capri returning. It's because a printer's strike led to Autocar being unavailable for more than 4 months. I think that might be a little aside, don't you? Anyway, what else we say here? Ford had always played on the Capri's affordability and usability, but it went all out with the Mark II to promote its family friendliness while also remaining true to its stylish roots. Well, that is what it was. It wanted buyers to believe, but it was an uphill struggle getting them to do so. The Capri's biggest production years were in the early 1970s, with production peaking at 238,914 in 1970. That's across the three plants at Halewood, Cologne and Solos, and by 1975, Capri II sales were running at half this, with production ending in Britain in 1976, at which point all Capris were built in Germany. I remember, just as an aside, in my younger days, if you had a Mark II Capri and it was of German built, you were pretty special around the block at home. But we go back to the story. However, the Germans didn't take to the Capri II as they felt it wasn't sporty enough. Ford of Germany made 882,264 Capri Mark 1s between December 68 and October 74, but just 318,758 Capri 2s between December 73 and January 78. For many, the Capri dream was a 3-litre V6 edition with an X-pack. This brought wide arches made of glass fibre bonded to the bodywork, larger front discs, limited slip rediff or limited slip differential, and an upgraded engine. Buyers could choose between 170 and 185 brake horse power plants, but only between 1977 and 1980. After this, the option was canned in readiness for the arrival of the 2.8i. As already mentioned, when the Capri Mark 1 arrived, it brought with it one of the most memorable strap lines in history. But the slogan that Ford dreamt up for Mark 3 was another more forgettable. The difference between driving and just motoring. So the next time you're doing a motoring quid for your mates, drop that one in and see how many get it. By 1978, Capri sales fell to just 69,112. but the introduction of the Mark III led to things improving, with sales increasing to more than 85,000 in 79. But the revival was brief, with just 41,753 cars made in 1980. And by this point, it was the only in the UK was still buying Capri in significant numbers. For many, the ultimate mainstream Capri arrived in 1981, the 2.8i. Out went the carbureted 3-litre V6 Essex, in came Ford's 2.8-litre Cologne V6, the first car to be developed by Ford's Special Vehicle Engineering, or SVE, division, and led by ex-racer Rod Mansfield. The Capri 2.8 packed 158 brake horse and gave it 130 mile an hour. The first cars featured in a 4-speed manual gearbox, but a 5-speeder became standard fare within 12 months. With the arrival of the 2.8 injection special, things got even more, well, special, bringing in with it part leather trim. The 2.8iS got a 7-spoke alloys, a colour-coded grille and headlamp surrounds, plus a limited slip diff. But the 158 brake horse engine was carried over unchanged. The 2.8iS cost £9,500, or about £30,000 in today's money. As the advert says, our what car, colleague said, there's nothing to beat it at the price. With the Mark III, German buyers were still able to buy a Capri that wasn't sold in the UK. This time it was the Turbo, offered between mid-1981 and mid-1982. Sold only through German RS dealers, the Capri Turbo was fitted with a carbureted 2.8-litre Cologne V6, equipped with a Garrett T4 turbocharger to give it about 188 brake horse. They reckon about 155 of those were built. Boy, wouldn't they be worth something today? Read those prices and weep, hey? A brand new Capri 2.8 for £8,250. And if you don't care too much about performance, you could get into your own Capri for less than £5,000. At the time, for £8,000, you could also have bought a range-topping Fiat Regata, a 100S, half a Jaguar XJ40 2.9, or a Reliance Scimitar. God, who can remember those? An SS1 1600. A Mazda RX-7 weighed in at £15,250. A Lotus XL was £17,590. And a beautiful Alfa Romeo GT V6 2.5 litre was £13,000, making the Capri something of a bargain. The leeriest of all was unveiled at the 1982 British Motor Show, the Tickford Capri, with its 205 brake horsepower turbocharged 2.8-litre Cologne engine. The Tickford Capri was good for 140 mile an hour, 0 to 60 in 6.5, but only 88 were made, partly because of the £15,000 asking price and partly because of those in-your-face looks were an acquired taste. In the late 1890s, Greater Manchester Police said farewell to its last Capri, with the Sierra RS Cosworth taking over the reins. The new car was much faster, much easier to drive at high speeds, and was available with four-wheel drive for year-round security. The Capri remained on sale in the UK till 1986. Left-hand drive production ended on 30 November 1984. There were 1,038 Capris, all Brooklyn 280 editions with metallic green paintwork and a 2.8 V6 Cologne tuned to give it 160 brake horse, enough to give it 125 miles an hour. Fitted as standard were 7-spoke RS rally wheels along with leather trim. But it was all over. By the time the final 280 Brooklands rolled off the production line in 1986, no fewer than 1,888,647 Capris had been built. While the Capri sales tally might not have been as big as the Mustangs, compared with other European coupes, it was impressive. And let's face it, none of those rivals has left a legacy quite like the Capris. The most recent attempt to follow in the footsteps of Capri was Cougar, which made its European debut in 1998. It wouldn't arrive in the US until the following year. Another car that was brought over from the States, the Cougar, used the Mondeo's oily bits, which meant a 2-litre four-pot or a 2.5-litre V6. But sales were never all that brisk, and by 2002, the car had been axed. Today, the market for mainstream badge coupe is vanishingly small, and it seems the glory days of Capri are behind us. But ah, what memories nonetheless. And just as a side note, Ford brought the Cougar here to Australia, and it didn't do well here either. So that's Ford Capri, the great British love story. Richard Dredge wrote that article in Autocar, and it was published on the 25th of August, 2020. And there we have it, the story of the Capri. It took so long that we don't have time to fit in our GM story about the about the bad split between GM and their HSV special vehicle dealers. So we'll cover that shortly. Acrimonious is the word I was looking for. So we'll cover that shortly in another episode coming up. So tune in next week where we'll have something completely different, I dare say. I hope you've enjoyed the story of the Capri. It is a great British love story, and of course it was written in a British auto magazine, Autocar, of course, but they were very popular here in Australia and New Zealand as well. And a nice tidy Mark 1 or Mark 2, I think, in Australia can fetch quite a pretty penny when they come up, which is not all that often these days. We'll probably leave it there, I think. 30 Laps of Dick is written and produced in the Sydney studios of 2RPH. I've enjoyed your company, as I always do. I hope, sincerely, you can join me next week when we'll talk about something else with four wheels. Who knows what that will be. Until then, you take care. Bye for now. Thank you.